Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, Sean Whaley, political reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Eric Herzig, Trey Abney, and Greg Crawford. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. What is Switch? The answer, they represent the most dynamic growth industry in the United States today. Data storage, the information of the world. Here they're building the first of many 1 million square foot facilities. It's in their new campus. It's for eBay. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevada.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Does your business deserve the absolute best in workers' compensation? You should know that not all workers' comp is equal. With Pro Group Management, your business is all that matters. What do you receive for your premium dollar? Professional risk management team, top-rated claim service, customer care team, website access to your full account? It's all in the numbers. You can upgrade your dollars and make them stretch farther and more efficiently. Call us today. You deserve the best. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome back to the still alive Sean Whaley, a political reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Okay, so your thoughts on the last day of the session and how it ended.
I didn't think they were going to get done on time. The way the bills were getting voted out and the conference committees and the adjournments for lengthy periods of time, which have to happen because the staff has to process the paperwork and the amendments. But when they're amending bills on general file at nine at night, you wonder if they could do it. But they did get done. They finished their work. There were a few things left hanging that I'm sure some lawmakers would have loved to have seen had an opportunity to pass, but I think Governor Sandoval said, I don't see anything out there I need to worry about too much, so we'll just let this thing shut down.
What did you think about all the yelling?
In the back?
Yeah.
I only saw that once, and that was Assemblyman John Ellison, who's chairman of a committee, and he was trying to adopt a conference committee report. I think it was something to do with redevelopment, and he didn't seem to be 100% sure of the process that he needed to follow to get that adopted. So he was getting some coaching from the cheap seats back there. And they were very happy when he finally got that report adopted so that the bill was finalized in the very last few seconds. But I have to admit, I don't think I've seen that before.
What do you think is going to be the result when the public really starts to see the effect of these taxes? Pete Ernott was quoted as saying, you know, these reforms are going to take, 3 to 5 years to really come through, but the taxes are going to come sooner.
Yeah, I don't think the average member of the public is going to really notice very much. If they smoke, they'll realize that the price of a pack of cigarettes went way up. The sunset taxes, which will now no longer sunset, I'm happy to say, we don't have to relive that battle every 2 years, was a continuation in terms of the sales tax for schools and other factors. So I think folks were already kind of used to what they were paying there. And the new commerce tax is aimed at very large businesses, $4 million or more of annual revenues. It could be that those companies will pass those costs on to consumers at some point, higher prices. But I think for the most part, the public is not going to be overly aware that the taxes are going up, or if prices are going higher, they're not going to directly correlate it to taxes.
Now, we saw these, you know, massive school bond rollovers in Clark and Washoe counties, and yet in this morning's Reno Gazette Journal, there was an article there about a committee being formed by the Washoe County School District with the idea of proposing new taxes from five different revenue sources to go on the ballot in 2016. Do you think the public is ready to have looked at this session and gone, well, over $1 billion worth of tax increases and the bulk of it going to schools, and now they're saying it's not enough? And I know that when we had Joyce Haldeman here on the program, even the increases for Clark County were a fraction of what they really need.
Yeah, I think there may be some resistance to any kind of a tax proposal on the ballot from anywhere after what happens. Because while the public may not be overly concerned about the tax increase, they may also say to themselves, enough is enough. We have had raises. We have increased revenues for education, and I'm just not going to do any more on that. I think the problem with Washoe is with the bond rollover bill, they don't have enough retired debt to then free that up for school construction. So they don't have any immediate options to fix their old schools and build new ones, whereas Clark County did have the opportunity to build seven new schools starting this spring for the 2017 year and more after that. But you're right, it's nowhere near what they think they need.
It was interesting, too. Ben Kieffer, a state senator, got his bill through, forcing the local fire departments in Washoe County to respond appropriately as against the way they were acting before, which resulted in his father-in-law's house being burned down. What do you think the effect of that is going to be in terms of the state telling the local entities what to do?
Well, I think that was a unique circumstance. I don't know if it'll happen that often. For the most part, it seems like local government agencies work together pretty well. I don't know why that particular issue was such a festering one and where they had
this. I think it was unions, really.
It was more of a union thing. So I think he took it upon himself to try to address that issue. It just seems like a common sense approach to send the nearest agency to help people out in a time of emergency. And I think maybe it was probably something that won't recur, hopefully. So a one-time occurrence.
What did you think about campus carry? Was it really more an issue that we talked about in the media than the fact that it was ever going to really go through because so many presidents of universities and the chancellor were all against it?
I don't know what the appetite would have been. It would have been interesting if the bill had gone to the governor's desk to see what he would do. Obviously, it's a Second Amendment issue. People feel they should have the right to be able to carry their weapons. They've had training. They've had live fire training in Nevada. You just can't walk around with a weapon without having that. So it would have been interesting to see what his reaction would have been. The issue for me, looking at it, and I didn't have to vote. I'm not elected. So I'm just looking at the two sides. And you have overwhelming opposition from students and regents and university presidents and officials. And then you have the Second Amendment right. So it's a real dilemma. I could see where people would be challenged to figure out where they wanted to come down on that. And I don't think the governor probably liked the idea too much. So who knows? They'll probably try again. And I don't know, you know, what the effect would be on a campus, if it would be that onerous or not. I just don't know.
What do you think is going to happen 2 years from now when a lot of these Assembly Republicans are up for re-election?
Well, I think other people can comment better than me on this, but I always look at it as turnout, and it's a presidential election. We don't know who's going to be the candidates, but if you can get your Democrats to turn out or your Republicans to turn out, unlike November last year when the landscape changed significantly, I think the Republicans in the Assembly probably aren't going to be in control 2 years hence. But I just don't know how those bases will respond to the final choices for Republican and Democrat candidates. And then you've got all those nonpartisan voters. And that's a big group, and it's growing. So if you can appeal to that group, you can, if you're a Republican in a Democratic-controlled district, if you can get nonpartisans to back you in a large way, we saw what happened in last time. So I think anything can happen.
Oh, and that's an exciting time for all of us. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Cowboys aren't born, they're made. Through hard work, long days, learning the ropes. Welcome to the Reno Rodeo.
Okay.
The wildest, richest rodeo in the West, the Reno Rodeo.
Get your tickets today.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to MarilynMiner.com.
For help saving energy and money? Soon, new options from NV Energy will help you do both. Learn more at nvenergy.com.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Sean Whaley. He's the political correspondent for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. At the end, with it all being done, how do you compare, apart from the fight that went on for a month after, how do you compare the 2003 session with this session?
I think some people said it best, better than me, and that was that there was no line drawn in the sand this time by the governor as far as what he wanted as a revenue package. In 2003, Governor Gwynn had a plan, and that's the plan he wanted, and he didn't want to negotiate, and some people were locked into the opposition side of that, and so he could never get the votes he needed to get that through, so we had special session after special session, and finally a compromise emerged, and everybody went home, and that was that. This time around, the governor proposed an initial gross receipts tax that didn't do well in the assembly. There were a lot of Republicans who objected to it. I think because of that and his need for votes, he modified his proposal to make it more acceptable to enough members of the Republican Assembly Caucus to do what he did, and that was to get 13 of 25 and get that package through. So I think he was willing to compromise. The end result's probably a better result because of that.
When you look at the whole Uber battle with the taxicab industry, does this bode for the future?
Governor Sandoval, the day after the session ended, we asked him about Uber and why he signed those bills. He said there were a couple of reasons, economic diversification, having new companies come in Nevada, and also just the competition, and that Nevada should have competition in these areas. And he also noted that university students at UNR, for example, who may go out for a night of fun and entertainment, can't always get a cab around the UNR campus, and that Uber, if they could call a vehicle, would be a safe alternative for people to be able to get home. And he saw it as a safety issue for young people. So I don't know if there's going to be a new wave of free market competition in Nevada or not, but I think Uber clearly had a lot of support, lobbyist support, and the result was what it was.
You're heading, when you leave the studio here, to go to the PUC and the switch hearing. The initial report was that they're not going to be allowed to leave the power grid. What do you think this is going to mean here? Because there's a whole bunch of big casinos that want to pull out of the grid as well.
Yeah, I was surprised by the draft order, which will come up today for consideration. They haven't voted on it yet, but I thought pretty much it was going to be, yeah, you can leave. It's just a question of how much money you're going to have to pay. $27 million says the PUC and $18 million says Switch to cover the costs of the grid infrastructure that was built in part to service Switch. And when I saw the draft order on Monday, I was really surprised. It said it's not in the public interest to let you leave. And I think that what they are proposing is not to say they can never do it, but that rather than have a one-time fee, an exit fee, that it should be an ongoing assessment of the costs of leaving the grid and sort of an ongoing a payment process that would be imposed upon them and other companies seeking to leave, like the big casinos. So I don't know what Switch is going to do with that. If they think that's workable, they can reapply and go through the process again. It'll be interesting to see what the company does in response to this draft order.
Well, that's really, because I hadn't caught that part of it, because that would be very interesting to have an ongoing, as long as your company is in existence, that you're going to have to continue to pay something toward what your potential input to the system would have been.
Right, and I don't know if it would be infinite. I think it might be a number of years that would be a type of an ongoing assessment until basically if they leave with their 35 megawatts, then how long will it take for Nevada Power to fill that gap with new growth? And at that point, then it's like Switch is gone. It doesn't matter anymore because that capacity's been filled. And so it's fine from here on out. So it might not be a going on for years and years, but it would be an ongoing type of an assessment versus a one-time fee.
Are we going to see you back at the next session?
I think I will try to do one more. I'd like to see the governor and the legislature get together and talk about things other than taxes for a change.
Well, I think taxes will still be a big issue, but that's where we got to leave it. Sean Whaley, thank you so much for coming in today. We really appreciate it, and we'll be right back after this.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. We represent the key component of Governor Sandoval's new Nevada, economic diversification through economic development. National competition demands we must maintain this momentum because newly developing industries require creative solutions. The things you do today will affect our tomorrow. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Accidents happen every day. They change lives in an instant.
But what happens next is critical. That's why you need expert legal representation.
We worked for the insurance companies. We know their tricks.
Galloway and Jensen, we fight for you.
Carson Dodge Ram kicks off summer in a big way with up to $8,900 in savings on new Ram trucks. Don't settle for higher prices. Get to Carson Dodge Ram in Carson City right now. Discover the 2015 Ram 1500 Hemi Quad Cab Express 4x4, only $31,700. Or the 2015 Ram 2500 6.7-liter Cummins Diesel Crew Cab 4x4, just $41,900. The Drive and Discover event at Carson Dodge Ram, where Ram trucks really do cost less. Thank you. See CarsonDodge.com.
Your mouth does a lot of things for you every single day, so make sure you take absolute care of it. At Absolute Dental, our friendly staff will give your smile the absolute care it deserves, like free teeth whitenings, $1,500 off braces, all your wisdom teeth removed for just $1,299, and lots more. And it doesn't matter if you have insurance or not. We're here to work out a way to make it affordable. Give your mouth the absolute care it deserves. Give us a call or visit AbsoluteDental.com.
Accidents happen every day. They change lives in an instant.
When you've been injured, you're going to have questions.
We have the answers and the experience.
Call Galloway and Jensen, 333-7555. We fight for you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel as always. Our financial guy, Greg Crawford, is here, co-manager with Alliance Trust Company. Trey Abney is director of government relations for the chamber. And Eric Herzig, professor of political science at UNR. So, there were millions spent on fighting the margins tax prior to the election. Perhaps they should have just not spent that money prior to the election and spent it during a session and seen what kind of effect that would have had.
Are you setting that up to get Trey mad? It did kind of boggled the mind in terms of how the tax package got put together, and all of a sudden margins tax, which seemed to be dead and gone at least for a while, comes back, but in a slightly altered form and linked to other items, which made it, I guess, more palatable for legislators.
Was there any discussion, because you were part of the group that was raising money to fight this, of having a big PR campaign during the session when it looked likely that there was going to be some kind of gross receipts tax?
You know, there was talk, and of course, all of 2013, that's all my life was traveling around northern Nevada, crapping all over question three, right? And of course, I think there was frustration that that the governor's plan, albeit different and albeit better, I mean, let's be very clear, it's different than question three. The governor never reached out to Chambers of Commerce, other trade groups, before he ever proposed a plan to see if there were any alternatives. There was talk of that. I think the millions of dollars we spent in the campaign maybe could have been better spent on the schools at this point, you know, if we're going to get it anyway. The revenue package was fine. I'm just disappointed in some of the other reforms that we didn't get done.
Okay, when you say it was fine. So, you know, one of the concerns that your compadre Paulinos has said prior...
I'm well aware of his concerns.
...is that the rate that the governor proposed is far less than the teacher's rate.
That's correct.
And there are different limits on this thing. But another governor, another legislature could come in and raise those taxes significantly with it already in place.
Mr. Enos likes to say that this tax is as simple and as easy and as low as it's ever going to get. I agree with that. There are people that want to do away with the modified business tax, the payroll tax. So by doing that, by playing with these rates and the commerce tax, you can certainly do that. As you know, the chamber had to stay neutral because we had people like Paulinos and the truckers on one end, gamers and hospitals and home builders on the other side. And so we had everybody mad at us, which was great.
and the same, of course, for the Las Vegas Metro Chamber.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I keep asking people, and I don't really get a good answer, which is, who is going to feel these taxes? Is it going to be the public? Is it going to be businesses? Because for the most part, businesses tend to be the ones that pay the taxes. It's the general public that does. And if they do, how does this affect things 2 years down the road?
Correct, yes. Initially, the businesses will bear the brunt of the, and as you pointed out, this is basically a tax on large businesses in Nevada. But those costs ultimately get passed through to the consumer. They don't see it, they don't realize it, they don't feel it per se, but ultimately they're passed along.
So then why does it matter? If they don't feel it, apart from the people who smoke, well, do you see what I'm saying? I mean, we've had this huge fight, millions of dollars spent, and a huge fight during the session. But if nobody feels it...
Well, people will pay it. They won't see it. It's not a line item on the cost of the vehicle or the cost of whatever they're purchasing. But they will see it come out of their budget. They just won't see it as a tax per se.
Most employers do not have a big pot of money sitting around waiting to pay an extra tax bill. And so that money, the new money for the tax, will have to come from somewhere. It could come from lower salaries. It could come from shareholders. You know, lower. It could come from higher prices. I mean, it's going to be spread out. So one individual walking into a store is like, oh, gosh, boy, probably won't notice it. But overall, there will be some effect somewhere.
Well, they won't notice it for the most part. Right. And that's in terms of political tax policy. That's what you
exactly
want. Okay. And on top of that, you know, the businesses, no business ever wants to pay a tax. And they'll cry that it's going to, you know, it's a job killer. You know, round up the usual complaints. Job killer, it's going to put people out of business, going to make the state non-competitive. And that rarely happens. You do pass them along. And in some instances, you're going to have companies that, in a sense, almost make money off the tax because they can pass a higher cost along. And business people say, oh, that never happens. Look at baggage fees for airlines, now one of their major revenue sources. Okay, so, you know, taxes always generate all this political fight. I think it's almost a values fight that, no, we can't do this. We can't give the line. And you know what Paulinos is saying, it's as low and as easy as it's ever going to be. He's right. Things will change in the future. But the immediate effect, I don't think you're going to see it.
Okay, what about for companies that want to move to Nevada, who are maybe sitting on the fence? Does this scare them away? Does this say to them, you know what, it's fine, come on in? The education reforms, the money going towards education, are these all benefits?
And we hear that quite a bit. Actually, I think removing the uncertainty, I mean, the issues that Prop 3, the shadow that casts over the state for at least a year and a half, having this issue addressed, something needed to be done. No one's happy with it. Everyone's mad, which probably means it's actually a pretty good solution. And I actually think it'll remove the uncertainty that companies had when they looked at and evaluated Nevada. Now we know what's going to happen. You can quantify it. You can move forward.
And that's what businesses love, is certainty.
And our economic development agencies will tell you, remember, they deal with primary companies, which make most of their money outside of the state, that it's not going to really affect our ability to attract big companies here because the gross receipts tax is just based on your customers within state. And those folks are concerned about our education system. And so there's an argument that this could actually draw more companies because our education system will get better.
Okay, very quick answer because we only got about 30 seconds left. The story floated in the Reno Gazette Journal today about this committee of which the chamber will be part in terms of recommending what out of five taxes, if not a combination, right, should go towards schools. Is the public ready for this 2 years after this giant fight?
Let's be clear. The chamber was a big proponent. This was not a school district effort. This was a business community private sector effort. We have to build schools. Yes, we got a $1.1 zillion, whatever the tax, whatever the amount was for this new tax increase for education. It is a hard road to hoe to convince the public, hey, we just increased a bunch of taxes for education, but none of it is going to buildings. And we're going to have to explain that. We have no room. We don't have room for the kids we have now, much less the Tesla kids that are coming. We have to build schools, and that committee is going to find a way to do it.
The Tesla kids. Something new in our vocabulary. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back on About Newsmakers after this timeout.
Marshall Realty, featured home of the week. Our market is on fire right now, and home values are up dramatically. So if you want top dollar and massive exposure, call me today so we can have your home featured right here on TV.
I really needed the cash now, and I was getting regular payments from an insurance company, so I called Peachtree.
And I helped Matt get a lump sum of cash.
Thanks, Jenny.
We're Peachtree people. It's what we do.
Turn your structured settlement or annuity payments into the cash you need now. Call Peachtree.
I didn't want to max out my credit cards or take out a loan, so I called Peachtree.
I told Monique it was her money. I just helped her get it sooner.
And now I'm debt-free, thanks to Jim.
We're Peachtree people. It's what we do.
If you're getting regular payments, don't go into debt. Call Peachtree now to get your money.
I needed money to start a business, but I didn't want to sell all my payments. I knew Peachtree could help.
I got Tom a lump sum of cash, and he still had payments coming in.
Thanks, Kelly.
We're Peachtree people. It's what we do.
If you need money, call Peachtree and turn your settlement into cash.
We're Peachtree people. It's what we do.
Call now for a free quote. Call 1-866-596-8797.
Niedermeyer, what law office is representing that injury case in Carson City?
Sir, it's Kilpatrick and Bullantini.
Kilpatrick and Bullantini? Settle now.
I'm Charlie Kilpatrick.
And I'm Angela Bullantini. All kidding aside, if you've been injured here in the Carson City area, you need a law firm that insurance companies take seriously.
Take the first step. Call Kilpatrick and Bullantini today at 882-6112.
Getting your home exposed on TV is creating so much activity that buyers and sellers have more options than ever before. Call me today if you want to have your home featured right here as our home of the week.
On our next broadcast, lots to talk about with Jill Derby, the former Nevada Democratic Party chair. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.